All right, welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 121. I am Jeff, and joined by, as always, by Chris.
Hey.
And last couple of weeks, we have been rewatching the Alien series in anticipation of Alien Covenant, which will be out by the time you hear this. So we're going to wrap it up this week with Prometheus, and then Chris, you saw some of these strange,
Side things, yeah.
yeah, AVP. We're going to do it. But yeah, let's start off with Prometheus. So this is a 2012 film. It's Ridley Scott returning to the franchise that he started.
Yeah.
It's I would, in my opinion, it feels pretty different from a lot of the other movies.
Very different.
Yeah, it serves as sort of a prequel to the whole franchise. And in my opinion, it has a little bit more of like a sci-fi feel in terms of it's trying to make you think, or it's giving you a little bit more to think about than most of the others.
Sure.
Would you say that's like a fair starting off point for this? Like,
It tries at least, yeah.
tries.
Yeah.
All right, so. Yeah, basically the story of this is these scientists find cave paintings that they determine to be like a map of stars. They interpret that as it must be some sort of like alien race or something inviting us to go find this place. And so they head out and like in most alien movies, they run into trouble. So
Yeah.
It's been a couple of weeks since I've seen it. I don't know if I'm missing something there that that's
No, I
essentially it,
mean
right?
the Wayland Corp funds an expedition to this system of planets that Elizabeth Shaw and Dr. Holloway have found through their cave paintings. They head out there like there are. I guess their theory is that this is
Yes.
where the creators of our life came from. So it lends this weird thing of a creative design versus like I don't. It pits itself as creative design versus evolution. At least one of the scientists kind of pits it that way, but I don't really think that's what it's going for.
I think it's, yeah, I don't. I mean, that's what I would get out of it. More like just that we were designed by something
By something
and
and
it's out there.
yeah, and we were designed and we evolved from that original design, but yeah, that I don't necessarily think it pits creative design versus evolution, but it says there's something, some sort of creative power.
And right off the bat, like given that premise, I think it's clear that I don't know, there's a little more going on. Like your typical alien
Yeah.
movie is there's a creature in space and it's gonna kill everybody. So here's I think it's a little bit more of a plot, and it at least is attempting to ask big questions, which is what I love, or that's the fun thing about sci-fi, I think. I don't know how successful it is at all, but I'm gonna say this off the bat. I actually really enjoy this movie. It gets a lot of hate from people,
Yeah.
which I don't really remember that being the case when it first came out. I remember a lot of people being excited and I think liking it, or maybe it was just me and I was oblivious to other people's reactions.
I mean, there were definitely people that, people that we know on through the internet, Twitter and blogs and stuff that were not high on it. But I mean, general feeling on this, like through reviews and through user ratings, is generally pretty positive. Like it's not, oh my God, amazing, but
I do feel like the consensus has turned with time a little bit on it.
sure. Well, definitely. Like when you talk about it now, it's like, oh, that film is trash. Like, but they
Yeah,
also
and
can't really give many reasons.
I mean, I've seen some of the reasons given, and we'll get into it. There will be some spoilers. This is a 5-year-old movie.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I've seen, and I, you know, I agree it's ridiculous, is there's a scene where a surgery is performed, and this character gets up right after the surgery. It's a very crude, or at least it looks like a very crude, like, staples, like, surgery.
Sure. I think our friend Aaron referred to them as surface staples.
Yeah. So, and I mean, sure, but, like, to me, that's not gonna, like, the movie doesn't fall apart or hinge on that in any way. It's just like,
no, it's goofy, and it's you know, it requires you to kind of suspend your belief, but also, like, this is a movie where a group of scientists flew across the cosmos to a planet where there are, you know, big giant blue people that created us. So I think it needs you to suspend belief from the get-go.
It's stupid, but it's,
you know, whatever. Like, it's just for service of, like, hey, we're in the last third of this movie and we got to get moving.
Yeah, and there's just, I guess some of the answers it has for the questions that it brings up are kind of, like, maybe silly. If you look at them too, like, close, like, oh, yeah, like, these fucking big white dudes, like, especially when you bring in the opening scene, like, somehow he, like, created everything by, like, falling into
killing himself.
World. Yeah. But, like, the fact that it brings up the questions at all, I find it enjoyable. Like, I'm digging the movie as I'm watching it. You know, maybe if under further analysis, maybe certain things fall apart. But, like, as I'm watching it, I'm like, this is cool.
Yeah.
Like, there's a scene where this guy's like, one of the scientists is like, you know, we need to find out, like, you know, why they made us or whatever. And he's talking to an android. And the android's like, well, you know, why did you make me? Why did humans make us? And he's like, because we can. And he's like, well, there you go.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that to me is like an interesting conversation.
It's like, yeah, it's a, like, why would you think they would? Like,
yeah, it's maybe just because they figured out they could do that and they wanted to see what happens. That to me is like an interesting layer to this. I actually really like the cast of this as well. Like, Idris Elba is the captain of the ship. I liked him a lot.
Yeah.
I really like Fassbender as their, you know, this movie's android.
David, yeah. He is super creepy.
Yeah, he just plays it so well. Like, this movie or this series has had, you know, at least one, you know, robot in every movie. Mm-hmm. He's my favorite in the whole, like, in all of them. I think he's a real strength, and I'm very happy that he's going to be back for the sequel. You know, Fassbender, I'm sure, didn't have to do the sequel. I think he might just enjoy this role.
Right.
So that's where I come down on it. And like, when the shit starts hitting the fan, I think it's pretty effective, like, you know, thrills and chills going on here. Like,
yeah.
Like, some of the kills are really cool and stuff. So,
and
I dig this movie a lot.
Like, there are some, I think there's some really good scenes, like the snake hugger that kills the geologist, I believe, is fucking phenomenal. One, it's terrifying. Like, it might be the scariest thing in the series since the original Alien.
Is this like the thing that breaks his arm?
Yeah, it breaks his arm suit and goes inside and then, like, goes up the suit and down his throat. Oh, God.
Yeah.
And then like Shaw's baby at the end is like this fucking, like, Lovecraftian Cthulhu monster that, like, is basically a gigantic face hugger that takes down one of the engineers. Like,
one of the engineers, yeah.
It's just, I mean, it's fucking creepy. Like, it's, I found it, I still really like this movie.
I do too.
It's an enjoyable film. Like, yes, there are dumb things that happen, but I think, like, I mean, we've now watched five of these movies in this series. There are dumb things that happen in all of them. This doesn't reach the levels of absurdity of, like, Alien 3 or the real high levels, and in a good way, levels of absurdity of Resurrection. Like, This stays pretty grounded with some goofiness, like, to move the story along.
And this is a much higher quality film than either of those two.
Yeah.
Like, all around. Like, this is a fucking real movie, you know? Yes. People might have problems with it, but, like, really, Scott is an accomplished filmmaker. You know, he's really trying to do something here. And honestly, dude, I enjoyed it, like, just as much the second time watching this.
Yeah, I really came away liking it again. I do wonder if some of the criticisms towards it are that this isn't really it's a film that takes place in the Alien universe, but it is not really an Alien film. It's not really about the Alien. Like, it's more about, like, the engineers, and, like, there are things like the Alien in it, but they are not being hunted by an alien. Like,
yeah, I think there's people who would have a problem with the fact that it's kind of hedging its bets and, like, having its feet and, you know, hey, we're doing something different here, but guess what? It's still kind of Alien, and we're kind of... I do think also that there are people, and I can totally respect this, who are like, I don't want everything explained to me.
Sure.
I like the original movies. It's simple. It's, you know, a spaceship, and the alien gets on, and it kills everybody. I don't need to know, as, like, sitting on that planet, you know, the engineer. Like, I need that explained to me, or any of this, like, way over explanation, and then, like, humans came from these fucking things and all that.
Which I think that's fine. Then just,
I respect that completely, but
don't jump in like this. This isn't a movie you need to watch. Like, yeah. I enjoy this universe. I am interested in that type of stuff. Like.
I am too, honestly. Like,
how are they going to build this out? Like,
it's just like, in, like, with Halloween, with Michael Myers, I would be the one going, no, you don't need to explain him. He's just a creepy dude. But with this, it's like you just said, like, I enjoy the world and the series enough that I like learning more. And I always like learning another layer about the Wayland Corporation, too, which you get in this as well. So... I don't know. It sounds like we're pretty much in agreement overall on this. Like, I guess I just don't have the problems that other people have with it.
Yep.
I just enjoy it for what it is. And I enjoy it quite a bit. I guess if you have anything more to say, go for it. But otherwise, I'm ready to go into ratings.
No, I'm good with that. Yeah. I'm like, this to me is like right dead smack in the middle. Like, I mean, it doesn't reach the heights of Alien or Aliens, but I think it's better than Alien 3 and Resurrection. So,
yeah, I'm gonna give it 4 stars, but it like on certain days it could almost be my second favorite. Like, I honestly would rather watch it again than probably Aliens, which is weird, but maybe it's just because I've seen Aliens more,
right?
And it has like a slower pace and like an older feel to it.
Sure, I
guess like it just feels modern. It feels like as a modern movie, it's just easier for me to rewatch or whatever. But yeah, I like it overall quite a bit. Like I said, 4 stars.
I'm at a 4 as well.
Nice.
I like it well.
Now you went and did extra credit homework.
I did.
He watched. Did you watch both the AVP movies?
I did. I don't know why, but well, I do know why, because like I bought a off of Amazon, and it came with both. It was like a double set for like $8, so I got both movies for $8. So yeah, so I went through and rewatched the Alien vs. Predator movies. These do not take place in either the Alien or the Predator universe. These are just kind of like, I guess the description would be fun side stories. How fun they are is that's a different matter. But
yeah, you know what's funny is I have never seen these movies, and all I know about them is what I heard on actually the latest episode of We Hate Movies, which I found to be one of their funniest episodes, and I've never even seen the damn movies. So
did that's they all I know. Both? Or did they
no, but they kept referring to Requiem though by saying like they much rather watch that because that is just straight stupid and we're just killing people left and right, and I think they like kind of said that the the first AVP was kind of like PG-13. They're like, what the fuck? Like, why was there not, you know, why did they go for that rating?
I think they went for that rating so that they could get more people to watch it. And it did make a, it made a decent amount of money. So,
yeah, but like, they were like, you know, if you've seen both these franchises, you know, Predator and Alien are both hard R's. So it's like, yes, a little weird to see a mashup that's like,
well,
pulling punches.
I think that this is, this came out in, the first AVP came out in 2004. So,
the Dark Ages.
Right. But it was also like a time period where they, studios were trying to push, like, trying to find new avenues for their franchises. And both Alien and Predator had, I mean, kind of run their course at that point. Like, Predators was still 6 years off at this point. The last Predator movie had been 14 years prior in 1990, and that is not a good movie.
You know what? I liked that one as a kid, and I did rewatch it recently.
You still like it, dude. I think it's a bad movie.
I still like it. Like, I understand it's not good. Like, I could definitely see that.
I could see having fun with it. Yeah, it's a dumb movie.
Yeah, it's super ridiculous. Nowhere near what Predator 1 is, but I kind of dig it, like, still. Anyways, though, not to get into Predator here, but...
Yeah.
All right, so give me your take on them. Like, how do you feel about these two movies?
All right, so I actually enjoyed the PG-13 one, which I watched the unrated cut this time around, so there's a little more gore, and... But... It's completely stupid. The premise is that the Wayland Corporation has found a pyramid under the ice in Antarctica, and it has the distinctions of like Mayan, Inca, Egyptian, like all the, you know, pyramids across the world that, like, and the premise, oh, maybe this is the first pyramid ever. And then they get in there, and basically what it is like a testing chamber for the predators when they want to become big predators, I guess, like, mm-hmm. like it's a coming of age thing for them. And these dumb humans, like they said, the Wayland Corporation sets out on this expedition, and they activate it, and they let the alien queen, she hatches some new eggs, and there's some sacrifice thing going on where there's new aliens, and it's just aliens and humans and predators basically running around in a, you know, confined temple. It's really, really dumb.
You liked this one more than the sequel.
Yeah. So we'll get to the sequel in a second. But like, okay. the main character, like Sanaa Lathan plays her. She's a no name actress. Like, she's actually pretty charismatic with it. Lance Henriksen is there as Bishop. He plays a. Charles Wayland, Bishop Wayland. Yeah, like the people they have in it are kind of fun for the most part. And the Predator is kind of cool when it's, you know, when it finally gets hunting. It's really stupid. Like, don't get me wrong. It's really, really dumb. But I like the setting, like the Antarctic, like this old whaling station sets up for some cool thrills early, like, good camera shots, and the temple is fun. The aliens are fun. There's a giant alien queen that fights the predator and the human lady at the end because they joined forces. It's really fucking stupid. But I found it, like, it's dumb fun for me. But then you get to Requiem, and oh my god, that movie is a dumpster fire.
That's funny, because, like, yeah, they were complete opposite, but, like, they didn't say either of them were good, but they...
I don't know if I would say either are good, but there's zero story to Alien vs. Predator Requiem. So Requiem picks up sometime after the first one, and it's the ship that is taking the downed predator from Earth. The predators come back, they get their dead, and they're leaving, and there's a malfunction on the ship, and it crashes, and that predator had inside him an alien gestating. And it's really stupid. It comes out and it's half predator, half alien. And so there's like this super alien in AVP Requiem that is running around this small town in like Kansas or something, fucking up these people. And it's just so stupid. Like, it's not fun. It's just dumb. Like, there's not, they don't show anything. Yeah, it's R rated, but like, somehow they show even less, I think, than they do it in the original one. And there's no reason to like any of the characters, except they do name one of them Dallas, I guess, in homage to Alien. Like, the whole thing is just shitty and stupid, and I dislike it immensely.
Tell me how you feel about this. Okay. One thing that they brought up, they're like, it's kind of weird to have this mashup between the two, because Predator is more like an intelligent, like, hunter type thing. Like, he's kind of humanoid.
Yes.
And aliens are just like these weird kind of monsters. So it's like kind of like weird, like almost like the aliens are at a disadvantage because, like, they're just, you know what I'm saying? It's almost like human hunting an animal in a way.
Well, yes. But... So that's the premise of the first one, is that the... So, you know, an alien is, it is like a human hunting an animal, but it's like a human hunting, like, a dangerous animal.
Like
if you don't want to get too close to a fucking lion, like
a xenomorph would be like an ultimate trophy on your wall. Like,
right. I got this. So that's kind of where the original AVP is.
So weird.
They've set up this challenge chamber where, you know, the predators go in and they take on xenomorphs. It's a really dumb premise, but like in AVP Requiem, like they just kind of set up where it's, we're just going to make tons of aliens and throw them at, and like the predator is here trying to rein in that, but he's killing everybody. Like, this predator's killing humans, he's killing xenomorphs, like, he's not holding back at all. He's just eliminating everything, because there shouldn't be any, you know, history that these things ever existed here. The whole thing is fucking dumb. Like, I would say, maybe don't watch either. like, they're really bad movies, but I enjoy the first one. Like, I would probably... I don't know if I'll sit down and watch it again anytime soon, but like, if we were going to do like another rewatch, I might watch AVP again. Like, it has set design. It has some cool settings. There's this cool thing that the Predator has cool weapons. Like, I mean, he does in the regular movies as well, but this one Predator like throws out this net thing and it grabs a xenomorph and it starts like collapsing on it. So it's like this metal net that's collapsing on it and it starts to sear in through its head, but like aliens have acid for blood, so it kind of like bursts out of it. So there's this cool like cross hatch across this one alien. Like it's like he's been marked. And he kind of causes problems throughout the rest of the film.
I think they mentioned that, and I think they said like his heart almost like easy to miss, but I think the alien cuts itself or some shit to do that. Or like,
yeah, I think it might actually push forward to break out.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, they kind of do the, which one was it? It was Alien Resurrection, where they like stab each other, or they stab the one to burn through to the lower level.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah,
do that so here kind of, as well. Kind of but they do that even further here to release the queen who had been held captive, where they get up on top of the chains and start attacking each other to release the queen. So they call back to some of the other films, but Yeah, no, I probably wouldn't recommend them, but I do enjoy the first one for dumb, stupid fun. Like, it at least has a coherent story. It's dumb, but at least you could follow along. Requiem is just like, oh, shit happens in this town. It's all bad. Everyone dies.
I might check them out one day. I don't know how I've avoided them for this long, but
I'm surprised. Like,
yeah, I guess I don't know. It always seemed weird to me, like, even though I love both those franchises. You'd
you
think
just feel
that I
like
would
this.
be like, ah, I need to see this, but I don't know. Maybe. Did you want to do official ratings for these two, or?
For Requiem, I would go maybe a two, and for AVP, I'd probably say three.
All right.
It's watchable.
All right. Well, that is our that's
Alien
full cover.
Revisit,
That's
yeah.
full coverage of the whole Alien series, including that weird little spin-off there.
Yeah.
I'm excited for Covenant. We will be covering that next week.
Yes, we will.
And it looks good to me. But we'll see. Yeah, but switching gears quite a bit. Master of None season two is out now on Netflix. I was very happy to see the other day. Have you watched this series at all?
I haven't seen it yet. I do like the main star. He was in Parks and Rec. Now I'm drawing a blank on his
Aziz
name.
Ansari.
Yes, I find him to be very funny. I watched some of his stand up. I like him quite a
Yeah.
bit, so he's
Yeah,
charismatic.
like yeah, I've always liked him too. His stand-up's good. This show's better. This show's
Okay.
better than just the stand-up. This show kind of reveals him to be more than just a stand-up. And although they are, it is a comedy, like it's a half-hour comedy. There's a little bit more going on in Master of None than just that. I think he shows a lot of promise and potential as a filmmaker in the series. So looking back to season one, I remember there was an episode I really loved, where it followed like 6 months in a relationship between him and this girl. But the way they did it was the whole episode was like them getting up in the morning. That's like the half hour before they leave for work. And then it would be like, you know, a couple weeks later. And each scene though was the same thing. But as it went along, it goes from them like wanting to screw all the time, just being all over each other to yeah, there's kind of talking to each other too. All of a sudden, there's fights, and like the way that they tell this story, it's kind of like a really weird, different kind of experimental thing. I thought like it's you don't see things done like that on a sitcom with that much creativity. Not to mention that there were episodes that were just really well done and touching in season one. Like there's just one you could tell was just like a love letter to his parents, basically. And his actual real dad is in the show as his dad, and his dad is fucking hilarious. But now going to season two, I think he's even stepped it up a bit more. Like I think there's things in this season that are even more impressive. Probably my favorite so far has been an episode called First Dates, where the whole episode was. It was a bunch of first dates that he goes on, kind of intercut together. Like, so it's just kind of bouncing around between all these different dates. But there's like a each one of them had their own storyline that goes through the whole episode, and they all lead up to like the awkward ending of a first date where like you go in for the kiss and see what happens. Really cool, neat episode. But there, I mean, there's stuff in season two where it's just like, man, you don't see shit like this on TV where it's like. Obviously, Aziz Ansari is a huge foodie. Like, he's totally into fucking food. And there's a lot of like him talking, like him and his friends talking about food, going to restaurants, like check out food. There are two episodes that take place in Italy in season two, which are really good. Like the very first episode of season two is it's all in Italy. It's in black and white, and it's clearly like an homage to old Italian films, none of which I've seen, but I was easily able to pick out. I'm like, there's a movie called The Bicycle Thief, and this has to be referencing that. And I looked it up, and sure enough, it was. I don't know. I think that Master of None, like, There's a lot of really special things about it. Maybe I'm making it sound boring, but it's not at all. It's a really funny half-hour sitcom, but it's on another level, I would say, than most half-hour sitcoms you would see. Just like a level of artistry, a level of interest in things that are, I don't know, not usually shown in that type of show. And as well, there's another, I don't know, I feel like I'm maybe spoiling it a little bit, but just trying to sell you and people listening on it. There's another episode that's just wonderful in season two called New York, I Love You, that kind of bounces around between different characters who are not characters at all on the show. They're just different random New York people.
Okay.
That you don't usually get to see their story in shows or anything. It's like one guy is a bellhop and you get to see what he goes through in his day. Another is like a taxi driver they follow around. Usually when you see a bellhop in a movie or show, they're like a little side character that just says hi to the main character.
Right.
And here you get to see like what their lives are like. And I'm telling you, there's a segment in this that was really, I thought, startling and like really threw me off, which was like all of a sudden the audio cuts out. You're like, there's no fucking sound at all. You're like, is something wrong with my TV? You're like checking your volume and you realize that the character you're watching is deaf. And it goes on for almost half the episode. You're talking like 15 minutes with no sound. So it's things like that that are like, I think, different and special and a step above what you would normally see in a sitcom. But I've rambled on enough about it. It's a great show. It's absolutely like one of my favorite shows out there right now.
Cool.
And something else available on Netflix that we actually have both seen, we're moved to now.
Yeah.
We have not talked about this beforehand. In fact, I think I suggested it to you last week.
You did.
Don't take that as me recommending it because I had not seen it. And that is Beyond the Gates, which, Chris, I'll let you take over a little bit here. Tell us about.
So Beyond the Gates is it's about these two brothers, and they're kind of called back to their hometown where their father has gone disappeared. Like, he has disappeared. It's been like 6 or 7 months. They are now cleaning out he used to run like a video store, and they're cleaning that out because they believe him to be dead. And while they're doing this, they end up finding this old VHS game. And for anybody that doesn't know what these are, it was a box. It was a board game that you put a tape in, and you would kind of like play certain things. Like, it would give you things to do in front of the TV and watch and pay attention, and you would go back to the game board and do things there, and a lot of pausing and other shit playing these games. But this one was it's a little bit different, where it evidently was like a gateway to hell. Like,
it was an evil board
game. It's an evil board game that once started can't be stopped, and requires you to kind of like go through some challenges to open the gate to hell and then come back, like, to be able to escape back. It's something. this is a low budget film here, but it has some okay practical effects, and it's a hard film to kind of get at.
It's I'll say this: I really, really wanted to like this movie more than I did. Just the 80s aesthetic, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just based on the trailer, that's like you know, it had that music. And this movie has a really cool score.
And it has an awesome intro. Like, that opening, like the opening credit scene with the cool...
It's kind of
like,
showing you the guts of a VCR, I think.
Yeah, and it's like going through it. It's like, it's a really cool opening, and it has like this cool synth soundtrack going on.
Yes, so that's the tone, and like that's kind of the tone you got off the trailer too. And so I was like, So going into it, I'm like, this is it. This is like a movie for me. And it tries to be that. I think it has some problems. Now, I started watching this at midnight last night. I made it roughly an hour in before I was like, all right.
Wow, you're almost done.
Yeah, well, I was like, I need to I want to say I had like 30 minutes left, so maybe I was a little bit under an hour. But I was like, I'm getting tired. This is really slow. So, like, it's one of those, and I don't do this often, where it was a split watch where I watched like half of it one day. I don't like to do that. I like to take a movie in one chunk.
Sure.
But I think that's the problem wasn't just that it was getting late and I was tired. I think it takes too long for anything to happen.
It's really slow. For like an 80-some minute movie, it is a slow burn film. Very slow.
Yeah, like it takes too long for anything to happen. And I think another problem is the actors. I think they're obviously amateurs, and they try.
Specifically, Graham Skipper, who plays Gordon.
Is that the main character?
Yeah, the dorky brother. I
don't know if he realizes that he comes off as dorky or what, but like,
he's terrible.
Something's off with that guy. Yeah, I don't think he was very good at acting. I don't think his brother was really any good either.
I thought at least he had like a semblance of charisma. Him and the girl who played Margot, they at least had some like screen presence. It wasn't a lot, but it was more than like the other dude.
I do think that like there's a guy that's in this not much, but he's kind of like a asshole. I can't remember the character's name. Like when he's in the scene with his two other brothers, he steals the scenes from them. Like, and he's just like a little asshole side character that doesn't have a lot of screen time.
So does have an awesome death though.
Oh yeah, I'm getting to that. But like, I think that's my two problems with it. It takes too long for this is an hour and under an hour and 30 minute movie.
Yeah.
And it takes nearly an hour before anything fucking happens. And just the actors, they feel like they're trying, they're close, but something just feels off with all their performances. So, I mean, at the very least, when things do finally start happening, you do get a couple cool kills.
Yeah. There's not a lot of kills in this movie at all. Like,
No, but when they're there, like, when you're there, you're like, this was the movie I wanted to be seeing, and you're only giving me like a little bit of it near the end. I also don't really understand what the fuck was going on with the story at all, really. Like,
no.
Where did their dad go? Like, I understand not everything, you know, not everything does have to be explained, but like, just this whole game, where it came from, it's very vague.
The whole idea behind them playing this game is because they believe that their dad played it and he has been trapped, like, then they can rescue him. But also, like, I don't know, like, there's this weird vibe I get from the relationship with their dad.
There's an amazing amount of backstory in this.
Yeah, there's like a ton of off. And there's a ton of threads that they don't follow.
I mean, there's things that, like, they'll mention something, and I'll be like, okay, is that going to pay off? And it kind of does in one scene where they kind of try to explain everything in this one scene near the end where it's like, you know, kind of explaining what happened between the guy and his girlfriend and,
right,
like, what happened with their dad. But it's like, I kind of give them credit for actually writing backstories for all these characters, but it also was very weird that I felt like it was like an insane amount of story for like a goofy, stupid movie.
Yeah.
And none of it really totally matters. So it was just like, okay.
No, and I mean,
and it just doesn't, the game doesn't make sense. Like it's a cool idea. It's a really cool premise though. Like, I could see, like, when he was writing this movie going, wouldn't it be cool if, you know, they found this board game and they thought they had, like, their dad played it and they have to save him. And, oh, by the way, the board game itself is, like, you're playing it in the actual world of the house, of the dad's house. There's, like, things hidden around the actual house that you have to interact with. But, like, the logistics of any of it doesn't make any sense.
No, and, like, things, like, they bring back the asshole And but that all like ties in with like a voodoo doll, and like that part makes zero sense, like outside of like, oh, let's kill him because he's a dick. But it seems like maybe in the process they end up like getting his girlfriend arrested, like the bartender, because there's like a side comment from Gordon that like, you didn't do anything, like just because like some crazy ex-girlfriend kills their boyfriend in a bar doesn't mean you had it. Like, okay. And then like the
Yeah, and then they have their friend. There's a cop who gets involved in this who had nothing to do with it. And you're like, okay, how did that happen? Like,
But then he disappears. Like, it's so
yeah, it's
fucking
just,
weird.
it's a cool premise, and I like dig what they were going for, but the movie falls short in too many places for me to give it a real recommend. Unfortunately, I mean, I'd have to give it 2 stars, dude.
I think I'm like probably there, two or three. But yeah, it's a weird thing. It suffers from a lot of like there's what independent, like low budget independent horror films do. Like they have cool ideas, but they don't know how to execute on them.
Yeah, like it really was like a neat premise, and it just, the whole aesthetic of it, I'm like, oh, I love that 80s type of shit. At the very least, it made me hunger for more 80s movies.
Yeah, so
So,
you went looking, right?
yeah, I did. So, going forward, and then, next however knows how many weeks, because there's this low release schedule too for home video right now, I'm gonna dig into like shit I've never seen before, with a heavy, like, with a specific focus on 80s movies. So I'm gonna make sure they're from the 80s, and a heavy focus on horror and sci-fi that I've never seen before. So, but yeah, I did actually go to my local library to, I just figured, okay, you might find something weird there. Like, and I dug through every single title that they had, and the only horror or sci-fi film from the 80s that they had was Aliens. So I'm gonna be using the old Netflix, and by next week I'll have seen a film called The Hidden from 1987, which looks fan fucking tastic. Have you ever seen this movie or heard of it?
I don't think so.
It basically looks like a Terminator ripoff, except the idea is like an alien, some sort of alien being. I'm imagining like an alien slug or something comes to Earth and is inhabiting different people's bodies. And like they, and once he takes over the body, they like go out and just, they're just killing people like crazy. And it just looks ridiculous and cheesy and like just totally 80s. I'm really looking forward to that. And the other one that I have up next after that in my queue is not actually a horror or sci-fi movie, but it's one that looks interesting to me. It's a Brian De Palma film called Blowout. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
I don't think so.
It has John Travolta as a star, and he's like a sound guy on movies, and he accidentally records a murder with his like audio equipment. So it's like sort of like a thriller type thing, and it has, God, I just watched the trailer for it yesterday. I can't remember his freaking name. Who's the bad guy? And so it's John Travolta and Nancy Allen are kind of the two leads, and John Lithgow is the bad guy. I was like, that sounds cool. I've never really heard it. Like, I think I've heard people talk about it, and that's kind of also why I'm like, all right, I'm gonna check that out. But dude, I have some fun titles. I won't go into the details of any of these other ones, but I'll just read you my queue. Starman. And let me
Think
know if
I
you've
have
seen any
seen
of
that.
these.
I
You
think I
have?
have seen Starman.
Night of the Creeps.
Sounds familiar, but
See, I'm going deep. Deep Star 6.
I have seen that.
And this is not a deep cut, and I should be ashamed for saying this. Blade Runner. I've never seen it.
Well, it's right in time because the sequel comes out this year, so.
Brazil, Altered States.
I've heard of that one, but I don't think I've ever seen it.
You would remember The Box. At least I remember The Box. The Last Starfighter.
Yes, I've seen that. That's a great movie. Well, at the time I
Is
saw
it
it, I loved it. So
the trailer for it? Looks
it's so
awesome.
goofy. Like you it's like it involves an arcade cabinet and intergalactic space battles.
Yes,
It's fucking nuts.
it's
It's
like
great.
from what I could tell from the trailer, it's like this kid that's really good at some arcade
Yes.
game, but it was like made by aliens, and he's like, so he's the good starfighter, so he has to
Yes,
like
yeah,
go
he's
and do it.
recruited
Yeah.
to like lead their
Which
military fleet.
is such a fantastically 80s premise.
Yep.
Movie called Brain Damage, a movie called Street Trash, movie called Vigilante, and a movie called Frankenhooker. So those are just some of the ones I got queued up.
Frankenhookers.
Yes.
That's an awesome title.
So we have some interesting choices for me in the coming weeks, besides the ones that we're going to be
Yeah,
seeing in
sounds
theaters.
like it.
Yeah, so maybe I'll find some. I already did find one gem according to you with the last Starfighter.
Yeah, I
So
really like The Last Starfighter, so.
yeah, I just feel like that's kind of my favorite genre is 80s sci-fi horror. But I'm like, there's got to be stuff that I miss, because when I was a kid, it was, at least for me, the focus was Freddy, Jason, Michael, and then like the alien movies, you know? So there's got to be more out there that's somewhat
Yeah,
decent.
there's a ton.
So I don't know if there's anything else we had to cover this week. I'm sure there is, and I'm just forgetting it off the top of my head.
I
Did you
saw
see
Black
anything else?
Mirror. I watched the
Oh yeah,
first
let's
season of
talk
Black
about,
Mirror, but
yes.
yeah,
No,
we'll briefly touch on that. All right.
let's end with Black Mirror, because this is a show that I watched last year. I raved nonstop about, and I've been bugging you, like annoying the fuck out of you for weeks now.
Every week you
Or just any
send me
chance
a
I, yeah.
trailer.
Yeah, any chance I get, because I'm fairly confident that you would like the series at the very least. So let me hear it. Throw it on me.
Right,
Don't hold
so
back.
I know you said like we don't have to watch this series kind of in order, but I did
Not at
start at
all.
season one, episode one, and I'm kind of working my way like a traditional TV show. One This is I watched the first season and I actually started season two, but we'll save that. One this the first season starts off with an episode that is super depressing and cynical. It's like a super cynical look at our society, and totally believable, which is the sad thing.
Oh, and beyond that, it kind of like it, this show scares me a little bit, because there's things that happen on the show that have come to happen in real life. And
Yeah.
the first episode is about a prime minister of Britain fucking a pig, which that was a pretty big story a couple years ago after that this came
Yeah.
out. So
After he wrote this, he had no knowledge of it beforehand.
Charlie Booker is kind of scaring me. He's a little Nostradamus on me. But anyways, go.
Yeah, so like the this first
I don't think that's a
episode of like
great episode, but
I liked it. It's fucked
I liked all
up.
of them almost.
Like it's really tense, like in the way, like how everything is set up and where it leads to, with him ultimately like choosing like I have to do this,
For the better good, wasn't it? It was like a terrorist type thing, right? Like, you
basically.
have to
Yeah, it
do
was, well,
this,
it's like
yeah.
it's either, you know, he either fucks the pig or they kill the princess, and he. Like at that point, it's like, well, we've exhausted every possibility of rescuing her. We don't know where the fuck she is. And like he chooses to do this to save her, and maybe also his political career, but in the process he destroys his marriage. So
And he fucks a pig,
and he
so there's
fucks a pig, yes.
that.
And but like that there's like that side of it, but then there's also the societal like where we as the society stopped
It's just like
everything to watch,
and it's
and the
kind of just
way,
entertainment to us.
yeah, and the way it played out was like so not to like spoil things, but ultimately like this was all set up around the fact that the terrorist, the kidnapper, knew exactly how society would react. And like where it's just it's fucked up.
I need to do a series rewatch because there's ones like that one's kind of vague to me. I don't remember what the second one was about. What was that one about?
So the second episode was this. It's called 15 Million Merits. It stars the guy from Get Out.
Yes, and that one I have seen more than once, and I did recognize him when I watched Get Out. I was like, "Oh, that's the dude from Black Mirror."
Yeah,
I like that one. It's
interesting, like look at the future and how we like are. You know, basically, it just kind of like paints a picture of us working our lives away and basically riding a bike.
Yeah, right. It has like an interesting take on our relationship with work and with money.
Yeah, and how everyone has a price, and
just how like currency works is even interesting. That it's almost like a Bitcoin type thing, or I don't know. Like, and also, really neat thing about that episode is I think the set design or like the
it's a beautiful looking. It's amazing.
The way. We're not going to spoil the whole episode, but just the way they envision the way people live in the future is they live in these little boxes with screens all around them, which is like obviously a metaphor, you know?
Yeah. And like to skip, to even be able to like rest or skip commercials and like move on to something else, you need to pay for it. Like everything has to be paid for.
Yeah. It's all microtransactions, really.
Yeah. It's fucking nuts. And then the final episode of that season, it deals with a relationship, a guy and his wife, and how he doesn't trust his wife, and that they have these implants that are allow you to rewind time and like enhance memories.
You have a camera in your eye, essentially. Yeah. It records everything. You can watch it over and over. And I don't know about you, but for me, that's the strongest episode in season one. Because what I think it does is what I think the show does best is it talks about technology that seems plausible in the near future.
Yeah.
And it asks you, what does this technology mean? Like, what would it mean to your life?
Yeah.
And if you're a jealous person, that technology, at least the way it plays out in that episode, I totally bought it.
It'll destroy your life. Like,
and I was like, I would be like that guy. Like, I'm the type of guy, you don't give me that technology. It would be bad for me to have in my life. And like, that's what I love about the show is it actually makes you think about.
Yeah, because not only.
I mean, a lot of stuff seems plausible.
Like, these are things that can happen in our everyday life. We rewind memories. We think about memories. We think about things, but in this, like, you're actually rewinding it, and you're like, you can rewatch it over and over again.
Assess over details. Did she laugh at that guy's joke a little too?
Right. You know? It's like and you start to read into things that maybe aren't there, and
because you watch it too many damn times. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
It becomes like it basically becomes something that cracks you and makes you crazy, and he ultimately like ends up deleting all those memories, like, and so. It's kind of sad.
sad ending, if I remember right.
He ruins his life and by, you know, rewinding all this and driving his wife away, and then at the end of it, like, he doesn't even have the memories to show for it. So
yeah, that's probably my favorite episode from season one. But the best I could say for you is I think the best is yet to come. And I know at least one of the ones you saw from season two I thought was a really strong episode.
Yeah, it started off really good. The first episode of season two was really good. So
I'll be happy to. I'm excited to like hear more as you go along what you think of it. So.
It's been very strong. So I'm interested to see where the rest of this goes. So
see, I told you I wouldn't steer you wrong on this. I'm gonna probably actually end up rewatching some of them too as you go along, so that like they're a little fresher in my memory. Plus, I just been wanting to watch that show more. So, and good news is they are working on a new season right now, filming. So,
cool.
Yeah. I guess we're out of time. We've gone over. And so thank you for listening. And next week, we'll be back with Alien Covenant.
Yeah, definitely.
Movie dudes. Do, 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 do.